Welcome, everybody, to the number one college baseball podcast in the world in 2019. And we're back for 2020, episode one of the 2020 season with me and my buddy, James Berry, co-host of the show. Let's get it. Hello, college baseball fans, and welcome to the first episode of the 2020 season for the 11.7 podcast. And I know that was a lot of numbers thrown out at you right there, but I am your host, Ben Upton, for the second season in a row, and my co-host, also known as the 2015 Blinn Home Run Derby runner-up, James Berry. And there is pictures on the internet that he the Blinn Junior College Home Run Derby 2015, actually the runner-up, but he's back. Longwood Lancer alum.
Yes, sir. Over the shoulder.
And we are back by popular demand because we are here to bring you the most outstanding college baseball coverage you're going to find on the internet. We did this as a hobby last year, and it turned into something great, and we're looking forward to just building off of what we did last year, but improving everything. We're going to give you guys more player interviews this year. We're going to give you guys more just off-the-wall coverage of college baseball to help this thing grow, because we think college baseball is a ticking time bomb about to explode in the world of sports, don't we, James?
Yep. And it is set to explode on February 14th, first pitch. We are back with all the breaking coverage, the biggest stories. Just to recap last year, Ben and I were talking before the show. We were part of some breaking news of a legit, like, head coach being fired last year. Like, a random source from the internet shows up on our inbox. Like, we were not prepared at all for what we were walking into last year, but we're here for season two, and it's good. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, you're right. We turned into an actual reliable source last year. We ended up getting College World Series media passes, which is just crazy to think about.
We applied kind of on a whim, and then you sent me an email saying, hey, like, we got it. Like, AM media.
Yeah, I just kept scrolling through the email, just waiting for them to say, like, your request has been denied. And everywhere in there is like, accepted. Here's a plan to get into the cheapest hotels, or if you're looking for more expensive hotels, here's your option. So we did not end up going to Omaha. It was just way too last minute for us. But we did have media passes accessible to us in our names. And we did break some breaking news last year. We had some great sources, and it turned into something a lot of fun, something that we never thought it would turn into. And this year, we're just trying to grow it. We're trying to grow it because we think our fans like the way that it's a former player insight, and we also just have found easy ways to access current and former college players and coaches for interviews. And it's just something nobody else is really doing right now. And we think that by doing what we did last year and improving on what we did, it's going to make it for an exciting college baseball season. And we're just here to make college baseball more entertaining. So
I couldn't agree more. I mean, first 2 weeks off the bat last year, we're interviewing like the most famous coach in the history of college baseball, Ron Polk. And then, you know, we get Jake Kuchmanis. So it was like a perfect game, and boom, we get him on the show. So I think
we had four first-round draft picks on the show, too.
That's wild. Completely wild.
And probably another first-round pick coming up this year. I don't know. It's tough to say, but we do know, and we're very confident that we've had a lot of interest in big-time players and big-time programs saying they want to come on the show. They would rather talk to us than the other college baseball news outlets because they just find us more relatable, because we've been in their positions, and we're just here to offer non-biased stuff. So basically what we were getting back into is this season we're going to be focused on uploading all of our interviews and episodes to YouTube. We think that YouTube is going to be a great, I don't know, just a great outlet for us to get it in front of people who maybe haven't had our, haven't heard our podcast or seen our content yet. So it's free. Everything's free on this podcast. And we're not going to charge you guys for anything except if you guys want to buy some of our new merchandise we're going to be releasing this year. We're going to have team-specific stuff. We're going to have funny, unique T-shirts and everything that you can think of. We'll be on top of it for college baseball because we realized there's no place to buy college baseball merchandise out there. And so we're going to bring all that stuff.
Thanks, NCAA.
Yeah, thanks to the NCAA. So between YouTube and merchandise, those are two big steps we're taking. We're also going to continue on with our Instagram pages, our Facebook pages, and our Twitter pages. We found a lot of success and, I don't know, like a lot of conversations being started on those platforms, and we felt like our fans like to communicate through us that way. Also, if you guys are just huge college baseball fans and want to just talk to me and James over the phone or through text, always DM us, and at least I'll give out my number. I don't know if James is there yet. But we can chat it up because we do love the sport, and I've done it multiple times this off season with fans that wanted us to bring back the content. So
if you couldn't tell, we are going to continue to be your home of college baseball coverage, building the most, I would say, related community, a close community, and it's going to be even better this year. For those that have stuck around to the first season, welcome back. If you're new, welcome aboard. It's going to be great, and it's going to be a good run all the way through June, July, and in the World Series, dude. I can't wait.
I know, and so you mentioned it a little bit, but this is we do this kind of remotely. So James is over in Houston, and I'm in Macon, Georgia. Sure. So we're going to do a quick little intro for the people that maybe this is their first time listening to an episode, or maybe forgot a little bit of our past. I'll go first since I brought it up. So James and I met when we were 8 years old. We played on I believe it was a coach pitch, like Little League team together, the Diamondbacks in Kingwood, Texas. And we were friends then. And then James and I went to different elementary schools and reunited back in middle school. And through then, pretty much from middle school all the way through the end of high school, we remained really good friends because we played baseball with and against each other. And once we got into high school, we played freshman year team together on the JV team and then through the varsity level. And when James committed and signed to Blinn Junior College out of high school, I ended up signing at UT Martin, just a small Division I school in Tennessee, and played there. Decided that wasn't the place to be because we went 9-43. We were the third worst team in Division I baseball, and we had a whole new coaching change. And so I decided that I needed to leave, and James immediately jumped on board and told me Blinn was the place I needed to come. So we lived together at Blinn Junior College and had a lot of success there together. And I ended up going to Mercer University in Georgia, which is in Macon, Georgia, and that's where I'm at now. And played 2 years there. James ended up playing 2 years at Longwood University in Virginia, and I'll let him tell you about that some more. But
yeah,
we are 2 years removed from college baseball playing-wise, but we have not lost a step. James coached for...
I think it's three now. I think it's three. We're getting
this
old,
is our
man.
Third year out of college baseball.
We're getting old.
that's crazy. But we haven't left the game. We've always been attached to the game. We both coached for a little bit, and we started the podcast last year. I worked for a summer collegiate baseball team here in Macon called the Macon Bacon for a full year. So college baseball has been our passions. It's been something that we've always wanted to do, even just growing up, going to Rice baseball camps and just trying out for different junior college teams because we wanted to make it to this level. And we were fortunate enough to play at that level. Now it's time for us to give back and grow this sport on a media side of things and offer something that nobody else out there is offering.
You know, I think it's shown insurance, like you really can't fake it in this industry. You know, I think us being there and it's in our bones and it's who we are. I think it comes off when we do the interviews and when we just talk about the events. You know, it's more than just, you know, it's not even a job. It's literally just who we are, and that'll never change. And I'm just glad that people like want to experience that with us. And hopefully this, you know, channel will grow. All of our followers will continue to grow and give us feedback and make us better. And it's just going to be, you know, I think it's a little slice of a college baseball heaven. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, no, I think not only do I agree, but I think most of our listeners out there agree. And just kind of since we're an open book, we had a lot of people listen to our show last year. I was looking through the numbers, and we had in like 57 episodes, we had over 62,000 listens to each episode. And I think it was somewhere in the 14 to 15,000 unique listeners. So we had a lot. And I granted, a unique listener is a device. So you could be a 10-time unique listener if you listened on your phone, your computer, your whatever, blah, blah, blah. But just to see those numbers and to average about 1,300 listeners an episode was really cool to us, because it did show us that college baseball, there is a want in it. Like, the fans of college baseball are so passionate about it that there is a want to have more information and more content coming their way. But if you look at it, most of the places you have to buy a subscription, or you have to buy, you have to buy individual stuff to get that kind of content. So everything we do is free, like I mentioned. So I think that's one thing that we have ahead of the curve right now. And we continue to just plan on doing the exact same thing for this season. And really the most exciting thing about this season is we have some credibility. And we touched on it earlier in the show.
That is thanks to the fans, of course. Thanks to the fans.
Thanks to the fans. We have some credibility. People like, I don't want to name drop, but two of the people over at a big, big media source for college baseball have contacted us and want to be on the show and want to like maybe potentially partner up with us. And we've had a lot of people interested in purchasing the rights to our show and us work under them. And for right now, we're going to put all that aside, because we think that we're doing great things on our own. But there is some capability of us to grow into these larger outlets, I guess you can say. And I don't even know if I'm really supposed to be talking about it, but again, we're open book. We make the rules here. It's our show. If they have a problem with it, they wouldn't listen, right?
you could say we fly by the seat of our pants, but I think that's how our fans get their college baseball coverage. And you know, we want to be relatable. We want to be like those guys that you find at the bar. You know, we want to be relatable. But Ben, so my question to you, the diehard college baseball fans, let's kind of talk about like what are some of their favorite teams going through this time of year? You know, middle, late January, season's on the corner, I think 24, 25, 26 days. Like, what is the mood in some of the clubhouses around the country? Kind of speak to that a little bit, if that's something you want to dive into.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So right now, middle of January, kids are coming back off of their month-long vacation, and it's not a vacation for them because that's a time for them to basically get prepped up, ready for the season. So it's their training camp. It's their spring training. They go throughout the month of December, maybe with a couple off days for the holidays, but every other day they're throwing, they're hitting, they're getting in shape, because right now is probably right in the middle of their team conditioning. And so team conditioning consists of morning workouts. You got weight room stuff going on, as well as like running and agility drills. And then you move into 4-on-1 season, which is also right now. If you guys don't know, a 4-on-1 is what the NCAA allows for each team to have groups of four players with one coach for, I believe, between 30 minutes and an hour, somewhere in there. And it's four times a week. So you have to have a mandatory three off days with the 4-on-1s. And it's just a time for them to hit in the cage for 45 minutes with a group of four people, in and out real quick, or maybe throw a light bullpen session. And then starting, I believe, next week is whenever you can open up with team practices. And I know they make some exceptions with some teams up north to basically say, if the weather's good, go ahead and practice that day.
Yeah, because take advantage while you can.
Yeah, practice while you can. But yeah, so next week, I know for Mercer Baseball, it starts official practices. We're full team. You're doing in and out, double cuts, bunt coverages, hitting live on the field. All of that stuff is just implemented for 2 weeks before the season starts.
And so, let me just jump in. It is so chaotic. It is so chaotic. It's very odd that the winter break comes, like, you practice all fall from August all the way through December, and you're building, growing towards something. And then it's taken away, the coaches for 6 weeks, And the players, they just have to kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, well, you know, hopefully when we come back, like, we got to go. And we, you know, we hope we're ready. And the coaches, like you said, they throw all these things at these guys for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, the coaches, when the players go home for winter break, you know, they think, okay, this is my rotation. This is my go-to bullpen arm. This is my lineup, ideal lineup. And then you don't see them for 6 weeks and you're like closing your eyes saying, I hope it still looks the same way. Like, I hope there are minimal changes to be made. And it's completely wild because it's like having two different seasons. And this one is the chips are all on the table. Like, the fall doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And it's completely tough for the players and the coaches to have a whole nother mini season right before the real deal starts. And it is the most unique challenge in all of college sports, in my opinion. What the coaches are going through, what the players are going through. And then to your point on the four-on-ones, this time of year is rough on the coaches because what that is, the four-on-ones, is that one coach is going to be at the field literally all day because you've got players rolling in, groups of three or four, pitchers and position players, rolling in anywhere from 9 a.m. to 4:30. And some coach is going to be there all day. Just he's keeping tabs mentally. He's going to see a group of four. You know, maybe they put all the promising freshmen together. Like, I want to see how they all look coming back from fall break after winter break's over. How do they look in their first round of BP? Like, oh, like Johnny Joe, like, you didn't hit. I can tell you didn't hit. And like, the coach has to make mental notes of this for like, and he's got like 2 weeks to rejumble the whole vision for his program. And it's happening today. And it's going to happen tomorrow. Championships are being lost right now. No doubt about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think the end of what you just said kind of cut off a little bit. But for the listeners, it's basically the biggest challenge is the coaches have to know who did their offseason workouts. And when I say offseason, I'm not talking summertime offseason. I'm talking between the beginning of December to the beginning of January when these players are not in the class. They go back home for a month, and it really shows. Once the practice starts, you jump right into it 100%. The coaches expect you to be there, ready to play. No, like, wean your way off of this and that. It's like, hey, it's baseball. We're going 100%. There's no halfway about it. So you're right, dude. I mean, it's a grind. So this is the only sport, really, where the coaches have to trust that the players get their work done on their own time. And that's where the argument, and I know we're going to talk about it a lot, college baseball is moving towards an argument of starting the season in the middle of March, like right around spring break time, to give the coaches and players a period of 4 to 6 weeks to get their teams ready, get the weather nice and warmed up, and playing from March until basically the end of June, like, and maybe into July. Yeah. It would be the end of July, so, which is fine. A lot of people they like to go play summer ball and this and that, but summer ball and school ball, I would take school ball 11 times out of 10.
Yeah, no doubt. The summer ball leagues and everyone who's affiliated with that industry, they're not for this proposal, but for the sport of college baseball, I think it'd be great. You know, we've already seen changes to the draft that is going to occur this season, right? I can't remember exactly,
that's right.
But the Major League Baseball is kind of designed to work around the college industry. It's around Omaha and Reels, and that's a positive step for our game. Everyone listening, it's your game. It's positive. It's getting respect. It's getting a priority. So it's just great things are happening, man. It's just a great time.
Yeah. No, them moving the draft to Omaha and being in there with all the best players in the country playing for a national championship is going to make the environment 10 times better. And we know Omaha at that time of year is basically a wonderland of just everything college baseball. They do an amazing job hosting everything. But now it gets a little bit better. You get the players who are the best in the country who are not playing at that time to go and watch the best teams in the country play a tournament of eight. And so with the draft going on there, it just adds to the incredible event that goes on in Omaha. And we cannot promise you that we're going to be there 100% this year, but we do know that if we get the same opportunity as last year, it's going to be hard to turn down. So hopefully we can do some stuff with Omaha this year and Another thing that we haven't really talked about, but we will talk about a lot on the show this year, is the amount of coaching changes taking place this year. Because, James, it's incredible to see how many college coaches that are immediately getting picked up by big league clubs and sent off into AA, AAA to be the hitting coaches or being the pitching coaches. That just shows you how quality the college baseball game is to have these coaches going straight to pro ball. Most of them never played pro ball in their lives. And they've been at their schools for 10 years, like Donegal Fergus of
Santa Barbara.
Yes, of Santa Barbara, we interviewed last year. He was handpicked by the Minnesota Twins this year to go and be their hitting instructor. And it's crazy to think about the kids that are going straight out of high school to go play pro ball. They can get the same quality coaches. This proves that they can get the same like quality coaching in the college level, which a lot of people never think about or don't even want to accept. So,
but it's starting to change.
Yeah, and so the coaching changes this year have been astronomical compared to recent years. And it's going to be really cool to see these young coaches like a Michael Early that we interviewed this year get an opportunity down the like down the line to be either a Power Five head coach or a minor league hitting instructor. And so there's a lot of cool stuff going on in the college game outside of just the players. We have coaching changes. We have the potential of hopefully this year getting the third paid assistant paid, because that's something else that we were very, very vocal about. And hopefully maybe get the 11.7 scholarships changed. And and so we need to grow that number. We need to help get these third paid assistant coaches paid. But some other things that I was brainstorming on how to grow the game of college baseball, which we're going to talk about a lot this year, is the ability for maybe some, like, actually I tweeted it out. And I don't remember the exact tweet, but it got a lot of traction. Like, it kind of went low-key viral and like over 300 retweets and like 1,000 favorites from college players.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and basically I listed four reasons how college baseball could grow instantly. And I know a lot of them have some legality issues, but as of right now, but I said daily fantasy, which is something we were very big on last year.
Yeah. Daily fantasy. If anyone knows how to do software, just get us your info. We can talk, man. Ben and I do have some ideas, but
DraftKings and DraftKings, FanDuel, and all of those sites should be having maybe, I don't know if you can do nationwide because there's too many teams, but conference wide. Right. Daily fantasy tournaments where you can draft players and based on their performance from that game, earn points and win money. That just strikes up a ton of interest. And it's crazy because you can do daily fantasy for like esports, like e-gaming.
Yeah.
You can't do it for college baseball. Are you serious? And then, so that was one of them. I remember gambling was also something. If you think about like the biggest time of the year for like college basketball is March Madness. And why are so many people interested in March Madness? Well, because they can gamble on games and they can actually gamble all year now. Similar with like college football bowl games and college football seasons. They're so popular because people like to care about where their money is. And when you're gambling on random, Tuesday night Maction football game, like you're going to care about the game and watch it because you bet $50 on the over. So I think if there was a way for college baseball, at least in the Power Five conferences and maybe a few more, to have gambling lines available, so many people would log into ESPN Plus and watch, Morehead State versus Kentucky midweek because they have Kentucky -3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we obviously don't have the power to do any of that, but we think that if Vegas can get on board, that's something that we both agree can help grow the game just for viewership wise and interest level. Another one is an all-star game. College baseball needs an all-star.
I love this, yeah.
This is probably number one on my list. If college baseball could get an all-star game for maybe non-draft eligible players and play it on the Monday off day at Omaha during the College World Series, get all those players together, I mean, that would be something that I think I think ESPN would be very interested in televising that, because these are future draft picks, future top five-round draft picks that get an opportunity to go play on the biggest stage in the biggest field, and maybe since their team's not there, they get to play in Omaha. So got to be an all-star game at some point, maybe even to the point where you get a few players, like maybe the best five players from each conference, and then you'd have like an East versus West game or a North versus South game, something like that. But it's got to happen. Mm-hmm. All-Star game would be very interesting. People would go and watch it 100%. People would care about it. The last thing I think my tweet was about was All-Star game, daily fantasy, gambling. Oh, College Game Day. How cool would it be to have... Yeah. I mean, I watched an hour long of College Game Day basketball yesterday on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It were Reese Davis and those guys and Dickie V and Jay Billis. They talk about the games going on, the biggest games in the country for an hour long. I'll volunteer to host it for free, James. Or I'll be on it for free. If there was a college baseball game day every Saturday
You would be the one to lead it. I mean, you have to lead it.
Yeah. And so if there was a way where we could get a college game day at the biggest weekend series of the week, Saturday morning, right in front of all the tailgating going on, that would be amazing, and you could preview other big matchups. It's something that needs to happen, like, tomorrow. Like, tomorrow needs to be the day ESPN releases game day. And I think with the accessibility of, like, ACC Network and SEC Network, that's something that's very doable. You don't even have to put it on ESPN. Throw it on SEC Network. Throw it on ESPN Plus. Just something that college baseball fans can turn on in the morning on Saturday and watch previews of the best series going on and lead into a televised game that night. It's pretty simple.
No, and definitely.
That's not my elevator pitch for ESPN to hire me or anything, but if they were smart, they would do something like that in the next 2 or 3 years, hopefully sooner rather than later. But
absolutely.
James, is there anything else we need to talk about before you and I head out for the day and plan the rest of our amazing season?
Well, if you guys can't tell, we kind of get fired up talking about baseball, college baseball. You're going to get some random hot takes on the show. Like, we plan things out a little bit, but we think that raw reaction is what you guys have shown you wanted, and you're going to get some of that here as random big events come out through the season. And I think this is a place you're going to find yourself coming back towards for A, the real coverage, B, being on earth, and see the real passion that we have and y'all have, and it just feeds off each other. Players are getting involved. Last year, Ross with the guru in office at the best school in the country, Arizona State, right? So, we are going to be getting you guys unreal coverage, and I'm excited for season number 2. That's all I got.
Yeah, and like I said, we're going to be doing most of this over Skype, and hopefully one of these days we can find our way back together, like a long-lost couple, but...
It always happens.
I know I have big plans for us moving forward, getting an actual podcasting studio set up with some cool merchandise, cool memorabilia, it's something that's in year 2, but we expect to be doing this for a long, long time, and hopefully that... Oh, and something else I didn't even mention. We love when you guys interact with us. Tweet us, like text us, DM us, whatever you need to do to interact with us. We usually bring it up on the show. We give you guys shout outs. And I remember last year we did if you reviewed us on the Apple iTunes store, we gave you a shout out and talked about it a little bit. And we had a lot of good success with that. So interact with us on Twitter, interact with us on Instagram. You can find us 11.7. Maybe we even get to the point where if we have some really good fans that know what they're talking about and want to come in and Skype with us, we'll throw it in the podcast, we'll throw it on YouTube, and we'll chat it up. So we're doing some really cool stuff this year. Look for us to grow on YouTube, follow our YouTube channel, and also we could potentially have some exciting announcements coming up shortly. But pretty much that's all we got for today. We're going to be planning out the rest of the season. James, do your best at whatever you're doing the rest of the day.
You too, my friend.
Watch some football. We got some conference championship action. So, anyways, let us know how you guys thought the episode went. And
we'll see you all soon.
Yeah, tweet us whenever. All right, bye.
Okay.